When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to the one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." May the Lord bless his reading and our understanding of it today. Well, it was Black Friday when I sat down to reflect on these words of Jesus and to prepare a message for you this morning. The previous day was Thanksgiving, of course, and I had just enjoyed the company of all my children and their families as we gathered for what would be the final time in our home in Woodbridge, Virginia, their childhood home, for our Thanksgiving feast. It was a bittersweet time, and it revealed once again the difficulty we sometimes feel when we're in the midst of a season of change in our lives. And for us, that season took another step when our daughter received an engagement ring on Wednesday from her longtime boyfriend, Jackson Milroy. He's been here before. Many of you have met him. He's a wonderful young man, and we're very happy. And it means that we're going to have another wedding in our future sometime in the coming year. But on Friday, Black Friday, I was reading these words about inheriting the kingdom and feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, caring for the sick, and visiting the imprisoned. Well, like many other adult males, I sat around on Thanksgiving afternoon and watched football, and I kind of sat there in my food coma and enjoyed the surroundings and all the family being there, of course. And I saw a lot of commercials and just advertisements because, of course, Black Friday being the next day, there was a lot of that going on. And you know, I didn't see a whole lot of talk about offering hospitality or caring for the oppressed people or helping our neighbors or our brothers and sisters. Mostly what I saw portrayed were people racing into stores for bargains or cruising along in their new $70,000 automobiles, things that those commercials assured me I richly deserved. In fact, I came away fairly certain that my happiness and that of my family depended on our ability to purchase all those latest and greatest items. And I say this knowing that from the standpoint of the majority of the world's 6.8 billion people, I am already wealthy beyond imagination. I have a comfortable, secure place to live. I have clean, hot, and cold running water, refrigeration, clean clothes to wear, and plenty of food whenever I want it. For the majority of the people in this world, those things are unheard of, including many living in prosperous nations, including our own. Add to that the many other choices we have available to us, entertainment opportunities, transportation options, and of course the beautiful place in which we live. And we can begin to understand that we truly are rich beyond words. We have so much. And now we prepare to enter a season of joy and thanksgiving and perhaps even excess. And I'm not going to try to make you feel bad. That's not my point, because I'm right there with you. But our scripture lesson today speaks to people like us, people that have plenty, people with options and time and resources. And Christ doesn't tell us to forego the richness of this season, but he does tell us to show concern for others, to have eyes that see and ears that hear, and people that respond to the needs of this world. And we, perhaps more than all people, have the opportunity, and I would argue responsibility, to not ignore the cries for help in a hurting world. And I believe it is important that we take that responsibility seriously and ask ourselves, are we tuned in? Are we actually seeing and hearing the needs? Are we responding in such a way that Jesus Christ is glorified? Our scripture today continues this judgment theme that we've been going over the last 3 to 4 weeks. And this scripture section is called the Judgment of Nations. But it continues this theme and reminds us again that our words, our actions, and our behaviors are very important to our identity as Christians. Last week I mentioned many of these same points, and I cautioned that we should be careful of following into that dreaded trap of works righteousness, thinking that it's our good works, what we do, that could lead to our personal salvation. But it's very unlikely that the people that read this Gospel of Matthew for the very first time would have concerned themselves too much with this dichotomy between salvation by grace and the importance of good works. You see, being saved by grace simply means that we are saved because of God's mercy, because God loves us, and it's not because of anything we have done. This emphasis on grace versus works emerged from the Reformation period. Now, the Reformation is something we're celebrating the anniversary of this year. How many, or who knows what year it is from the Reformation? 500 years. 500 years. We're celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, where Martin Luther purportedly nailed the thesis to the door. So there was roughly 1,500 years of church history prior to that. But one thing the scripture makes abundantly clear, including our scripture today, is that Jesus desires obedience. Matthew's gospel ends with these words. It's in chapter 28. Obey everything I have commanded you. Obey everything I have commanded you. It does not say to obey only some of Christ's commands, but to obey everything. And for us, it shouldn't be that difficult if we can keep just one thing in mind, and that is the new commandment that Christ gave us. It's in John 13:34. Christ said that we should love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Well, this Sunday, as we've mentioned a couple times now, we conclude the Christian year. And during this Advent season, I'm going to spend some time looking back over the past year, reflecting on the ebb and flow of life in our community and in our church. I will continue to grieve the loss of some beloved friends and celebrate the new people that have come into our lives. And my prayer for us in the coming year will be a simple one, that we might uphold the new commandment that Christ gave us, to love one another, and that we will not be found wanting when it comes time to stand before the Christ and personally account for those times when we welcomed the stranger, fed the hungry, gave drink to the thirsty, and met the needs of the homeless, the sick, and the imprisoned. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this message of Christ the King Sunday, that we are to not become isolated in our own little worlds, but to remember the many others that exist in this world that are not blessed in the same way we are, with the many advantages that we have been given, with the resources at our disposal, with the time and the talents that we have. But Lord, convict our hearts to reach out, to hear and to see the needs of this world and to move to respond to them as you have commanded us. In Jesus' name, amen.